Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Problematic Fave Podcast. This week, we bring you joy. Let's say, this week's episode is basically the press conference from Joyride, which I, yours truly, moderated. For listeners who are not familiar with, you know, the press conference of it all when it comes to movies, is an opportunity for, like, kind of the cast and crew of a film or even TV series to partake in a very general Q&A with a moderator and with a press corps, I guess you would say. I don't know. Did that sound patronizing of me explaining that? I mean, people don't know what that is, so I guess, you know, I needed to explain. So basically, it was me moderating this press conference with the stars and writers and director of the forthcoming film, Joyride. This movie comes out July 7th. It is a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic film. I have seen it 3 times, not to brag. I went to the premiere, not to brag. Yeah, you know what? Yes to brag. Let's say yes to brag. What if we started saying that instead? Yes to brag. Anyways, this Q&A included director and writer Adele Lim and writers Cherry Chiva Pravadomarong, I think I pronounced that right, and writer Teresa Hsiao. And also we have the cast on this panel: Ashley Park, Sherry Cola, Stephanie Hsu, Sabrina Wu, Chris Pang, Rohane Arora, and Alexander Hodge. It was quite a party up in there. So I hope you enjoy this because I enjoyed moderating it from Lionsgate. Joyride comes out on July 7th. It's the perfect July 4th weekend movie. You know, it's fun. It's funny. It's raunchy. You know what? It did make me laugh and cry. Seriously, y'all. But anyways, without further ado, here is the bonus episode from the Joyride press conference. Enjoy!
Best friend trip. This is going to be iconic.
Do it like that.
You do understand this is a work trip for me.
Audrey, I got you. Look at me.
You're thinking about a dick.
Damn it, you're right.
Look at me, look at me, look at me now.
I love a grand adventure.
I heard that if you keep up with Chinese businessmen, they respect you more.
If you do not know where you come from, how do you know who you are?
I'm just a garbage American who only speaks English. And a little golem.
My precious little filthy orbitses.
Do you guys have that here?
Yeah, we have. It's all over the world.
Hello, everyone. It is a joy to be here. Welcome to the Joyride press conference. We have the cast, directors, and writers. We have director Adele Lim. We have writer Cherry Chiva Pravadomarong. Yes. Did I get that right? Okay, work. Teresa Hsiao.
Yes.
We have Chris Pang. Yes. We have Rohane Arora. Alexander Hodge over there. We have Sabrina Wu. We have Stephanie Hsu. We have Sherry Cola. And we have Ashley Park. Thank you all for being here on this fine Monday, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of get right into it. Okay, I want to talk to the filmmakers and the writers about this. You know, how was it for y'all to create an important narrative that doesn't necessarily center identity, but makes it crucial to the story, but also just doesn't make it an quote-unquote Asian film? I feel like there is a lot of booby traps there that you kind of like want to be inclusive, want to have Asian representation, but at the same time have a film that is just for everyone.
We're writers, directors, actors. We don't wake up in the morning going like, I want to create a project for representation. Work. You know, Cherry Teresa and I, we set out to make a movie that want, you know, to blow the roof off the place. We created a movie, that we wish we had growing up. We wanted a movie that, you know, we could bring all our friends to and just like laugh our asses off on the screen. Happens to have all those Asian themes and beautiful faces because, I mean, look at us and look at all these faces here. And that's really what we set out to do. And, you know, if people identify with it, that is fantastic. But really, it is about just leading with joy.
Do you know, every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm Asian. And it's always a shock. And so when we wrote this movie, when Cherry and I were like, you know what, we want to write this crazy movie, we were like, we just want to write it about our friends. And some of our friends also happen to be Asian.
Whoa.
And actually, actually, Deadeye is white.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Vanessa.
Spoiler.
Wait, spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Spoiler, culturally.
Racially white, culturally Jewish, and...
Yeah.
So I'm sorry,
really
I tried.
Inclusiveness was what we're all about here. Yes.
I don't think I've ever been around only Asian people. I mean, we look like everyone else for once. I think we blend right in.
We were basically just trying to make each other laugh. Mm. And sometimes the things that make ourselves laugh are jokes about Asian grandmas and Asian foods. And hey, if somebody else gets them, great. And if not, maybe those ones they miss. And there's also more universal things like nudity. So, you know, like awesome. we're trying to touch them all.
Oh, okay. Well, the film premiered at South by Southwest. When I found out it was premiering there, I was like, that's the perfect place for that. For this movie to premiere. It also played at CamFest. It's been going around, and I've seen it a couple of times already, and each time has been with a different audience. And I will tell you, it's very interesting seeing it with a majority Asian audience than seeing it with a majority white audience. It's all the same work. You know, it's just like, when I saw it at CinemaCon, I was just like, everyone was walking out of that movie theater. They were just like, stomach aches. They were smiling. And
diarrhea.
they had dysentery. It was horrible.
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia. Did you say?
I got it.
Oh, this is a fun panel. Chlamydia and dysentery. I bet you weren't ready for that this morning. How has it been like? This could go out for everyone. How has it been like seeing it with different audiences? Have there been any reactions that have stood out to you at South by, at CamFest, at CinemaCon? What has this experience been for anyone, whoever wants to start?
I'd like to add, like historically, there wasn't a lot of diversity on screen, but there were diverse audiences.
Mm.
So I feel like it's similar over here. Like even though there is an Asian cast, I think comedy also connects a lot of people. So it should resonate with all kinds of people. And you also have a South Asian actor, such as myself. I don't know if anyone noticed.
Don't mess with the Rohan. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like this film is funny first. You know, we really want to emphasize that because the cultural specifics are just a plus, you know, and to see everyone and feel everyone laughing and gasping in shock. Like the theaters have been thunderous. And I just can't wait for people to be blown away just because it's a good ass movie. Mm. You know?
If anything, I think maybe this is a little bit, this was a surprise to me as this was happening. I was like, actually, I'm like more afraid of like what Asian audiences will think. I was like, kind of like, yeah, I think white people will love this. But then there's like some element of like, you know, when you have a movie that's like, this is an Asian film, like as an Asian person, sometimes I'll be like, well, I'll see how Asian this is and if it hits for me. And it was like so cool to see it like CamFest that it really was like hitting people. Like it really meant something. Like it's also really hard to make an Asian film that really feels true to lots and lots of Asian people and makes them laugh and cry. So I don't know. I think that's also a really special thing that, yeah, it's broad, but it's like actually hitting for the community that that we would really love for it to like mean something to.
Ashley, you wanted to...
Oh no, I forgot. Shoot. The question was, oh, in terms of... I'm so glad you got to see it with different audiences too, because I think that's been one of the really fun things for us is to see it with different people. I think at South by Southwest, which was the first time we got to see it with a full audience and all together. First of all, it was my first movie festival, so I don't think I really understood that we were going to be watching it with like a full audience. And I think the fact that it was everybody was from a different demographic, different ages, different backgrounds, and everybody found like community and laughing at the same stuff, crying at the same moments. And it was really, it really blew me away. And also like, I feel like these are some of my closest friends now, and we've all been through something together. And so for me, we made this so genuinely and with so much like heart and laughter that I forgot that this was like a movie that we get to share with the world until South by Southwest. I was like, oh, it's a full movie. Yeah. And so I think that it's just been really exciting to see that everybody, whether the more specific we are with stuff and the more truthful we are, the more universal it gets. And I really think that I've found in watching it with different kinds of audiences and groups and people that I discover something new every time that I watch it. And so that's been really special.
Work.
Stephanie?
Well, yeah, I have to say that I didn't know how this movie was going to land. And every single time we've gotten to watch it with an audience, I am absolutely floored at how, like, titillated everybody comes out after. Like, every single screening, people are like, like, that's literally what people
emphasis
are doing.
Emphasis on the tit of the titillated.
Yes, boobulated. Boobulated.
That was chlamydia entering the body.
Speak for yourself. But it honestly, it's really inspired me. I mean, I remember after South By, it's made me really believe in, like, the hard art and a summer movie, going to see it with your friends and, like, laughing with a group of people, a group of strangers. It is really healing. It's really joyful. And I think we need our, like, insides effervescentized.
Come on, vocabulary.
Effervescentized.
It all goes back to the SATs, you know?
Chlamydia effervescentized. I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about this, well, one, the first time I saw it, I, like, laughed my ass off, and then I had to pick it up. Second time, I cried my eyes out. Like, towards the end, I was a mess. I was just like, what is the world anymore? And I think that kind of speaks to kind of, like, I never realized that there can be levels to comedy, y'all. And I think what really spoke to me was the chosen family aspect of this. And we're in this time, especially with the queer community and just people in general, is like, we're choosing people to be around us, who we put our energy into, who we choose to argue with, who we choose to forgive, who we choose to forget. I could put this to the, you know, to everyone here. I think it's a very universal question. How does, like, the concept of chosen family kind of, how did that speak to you in this kind of lens?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is family. You know, we just made something for the first time together, and this film has been, like, an inside joke for a couple years, and now we're finally, you know, like, showing it to the world, which is thrilling. And, you know, the themes of this film are friendship, you know, discovering who you are and chosen family, and you can't get through life without, you know, special people next to you. So, I mean, it's really, you know, it's on screen and off screen.
Bravo! Encore! Encore!
Audrey?
Oh, my God, that was so good!
You're such a big shot!
Oh, come on, you are the big shot, you big shot lawyer!
Best friends reunited!
And I'm so glad you brought up, like, the heart to all of this, because we are this crazy, like, super fun, like, batshit comedy, but at its heart, like, our heart is authentic and it's true, and it's not just about the Asian experience. Like, you know, all of us, you know, our people came from somewhere, we came from somewhere, we all share this in common, which is, at some point in our journey, we felt like maybe this wasn't for us, maybe we did not belong, maybe we had to prove ourselves extra just to kind of fit in and feel like, you know, we had to do something to make ourselves feel worthy of the spaces we were in. And one of the things that we explored in the movie, you know, between all, like, the butt jokes and the chlamydia, was, you know, was that thing of, like, when you find your people, you're always home. And that's where we landed.
Also, I think being led by what, you know, going off of what Adele said, Adele and Cherry and Teresa, what I've loved, the feedback I really appreciate about, like, them creating it and writing it the most has been that people expect this, of course, they expect jokes and this raunch and outrageousness. And, like, the reason the jokes are so good and they land is because these are three smart women. They're so smart. It's witty. It's there to propel the story forward. And I think that's when comedy lands the best. And that's when you can also open up people's hearts to, like, a more wholesome story. And I think in terms of chosen family, I think like a magical moment for any kind of storyteller or artist is when something kind of mirrors or opens up a part of your own personal life. And I think that I always thought of chosen family as, I realize now that chosen family is also, you need to know who you are. Because you can't go about choosing the right way unless you really understand who you are, what you have to give, what you have to, No, but it's something, like, really recently, even after filming this movie too, I think this movie, or being a part of it and being, like, in Audrey's shoes, really opened up my mind to, oh, I get a say in who I want to be in my chosen family. And that in itself is incredibly special and important.
That was the correct answer. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, though, I do want to bring it back to, the trust, you know, with these badass three Asian women, you know, being our queens and our guiding light. You know, there was so much trust on set as the base that it felt like a safe space to play around and find so much magic in the heat of the moment. You know, we just saw eye to eye in so many ways. It's just a language that you don't have to learn.
My God, we're learning a lot today, folks. I do want to just really quickly touch on, you know, I'm very curious in some of your parents will see this. There are, you know.
Tonight.
Yes. But, you know, of course it's raunchy and all that. But also there are these moments about multi-generational narratives and chlamydia aside and all that good stuff aside, you know, it's
I don't think there actually is chlamydia in the movie.
So don't worry,
chlamydia in the movie.
Did I cause the chlamydia?
No, I said it. I said I had verbal diarrhea based on her diarrhea joke.
Anyways, it's how do you think, you know, older generations will see this story? Because we're, you know, especially, you know, I know with our immigrant families, you know, more conservative, obviously, but now we're seeing this story. It's balanced with this super duper raunch, but also these really important stories that probably immigrant families wouldn't normally have with each other. Yeah.
Well, I feel like there was a journalist yesterday who, he's Latino, but he said he brought his mother and that she was howling the entire time, just screaming, randied, having such a good time. And he almost felt embarrassed that his mother was having such an incredible experience. And I do think when it comes to immigrant families, yes, of course, there's cultural tendencies towards being conservative or just more, you know, muted. But I think a lot of that came from immigrants making sure that they were safe. Yeah. I think that came from a place of defense mechanism and keep your head down, do good work so that you can thrive, survive, be safe and make it in this country. And it's not Confucius might have been crazy. We don't know. You know what I mean?
Confucius was a switch and a rock bunny, and he was fucking kinky as hell.
And a Buddha. And you heard it here first. But you know what I mean? I think our family is going to have Ashley's parents came, and they had a really good time.
They came to the movie.
No, but I do think, if this movie is the movie's about a lot of things, but one thing is that, why this movie is awesome is we're Asian people, but we are so full of, we are full humans. And I think that generosity should be extended to our parents and our grandparents. It's so easy to put the entire population of immigrants, which is a large group of people, to be they're all conservative. And it's no, they're going to love this film. I watch Bridesmaids with my dad and mom, and they absolutely love that scene where they're all taking a dump in the street. There's so much room for obviously all sorts of people to experience joy and laughter. And I think
I think that's what we see too. Yeah. Is it's hard to generalize a group of people in any way, but in terms of that generalization, immigrant families, the whole reason they work so hard. I think that the reason probably that reporter and his mom, she was able to laugh so hard is they're only working hard and maybe come across conservative, maybe come across a certain way because they're hoping that they can work hard enough so that people, their kids and so on can have the opportunity to laugh as hard as they maybe didn't have the time to or energy to. And so I think our hope is that this is a release for everybody. And if that is as well, then that'd be amazing. But
also, have y'all met Lori Tanchin?
Oh my God.
Who, you know.
Our precious grandma.
I'd also say that the older generations, when you really think back to it, they all had 10 kids, 12 kids. So they were also incredibly horny then.
Sure. Yes.
Right.
Teresa.
Thank you.
I had 12 children. You're
They're ready.
Everyone was horny.
Yeah. So.
Confusion for Ashley's wrestling scene that your parents called the scene.
The wrestling scene.
I tell you, this girl, literally my mom after South by Southwest, the next morning was I met the actor in your wrestling scene. And I was like, when was the wrestling
scene? I don't remember
wrestling.
She met me? I was passionate lovemaking.
There's some room for Jesus.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah.
joking.
Turn her, after the movie, she turned around and slapped me. That's how she met me.
My mom is like a sweetheart sunflower, and Chris was sitting right in front of her. She didn't realize, and he turned around to say, "Oh, hello, Mrs. Park." And she was like, oh, "You, Park."
Okay, we're going to move on to questions from the press, from the audience out there. First question we have is, first, just thank you for this movie. As an Asian woman adopted into a white family, this movie really hit home and made me feel represented in ways I haven't seen before or enough. Do you all maybe discover anything new about yourself throughout making this movie, or learn anything from each other that you think you'll take with you moving forward to other projects? Let's go to the sexy men back there.
We get to speak?
Yeah,
where are they?
Get to speak this time, just this time.
Just me personally, my own experience on this was, it was the first time that I had been a part of a project that had so many Asian people in executive positions and in positions of power. And I didn't need to explain myself the way that I've had to on every other job. And I realized there's a certain ease with that that allows you to do your job. Our job as actors, and I'm gonna take that shit everywhere I go. I'm not really into explaining myself anymore.
Work. Chris, did you want to say anything? Rohane, no. Y'all representative.
I mean, for myself, I think it's a lesson I took away is like how important it is to show up. This has been an incredible experience. And challenge yourself. When you're stuck, you move. And just like the characters, they had to go on a journey to find themselves. And for me, it's been as much of a journey. This has been a joyride. I was at South by South, and now I'm in LA. Mm. So it's really important to show up and be courageous.
Mm. Work. All right. Next question is for Adele, Teresa, and Cherry. The movie is extremely funny and brings up thought-provoking statements, but also manages to evoke emotions in its core. However, it also includes a large share of blatant sex jokes. Is this a sort of commentary?
Yes.
Yes, the sex jokes are funny. We put them in because we enjoy them. But the commentary is, I think for a lot of R-rated comedies that you've seen before, oftentimes they've been male-led. Oftentimes female sexuality is played for sexiness, whereas male sexuality, male nudity is played for laughs. And we kind of did the opposite here. We definitely wanted to play female sexuality for laughs as well. And so that was something that we wanted to do. But underneath, I think there is a commentary that this is something that you haven't seen before. Please enjoy it. Please laugh at our bodies as well. Thank you.
Oh, that's such a joyous laugh.
I love it. We are all gunning for like the Sabrina home run.
Yeah. I think the sort of like Trojan horse that we want to try to like move in with our kind of crazy movie is that like women are allowed to be raunchy and disgusting and sexy and sexual on their own terms, and that they're doing this on their own terms. It's like these guys here are there for Audrey's pleasure only.
Word.
And she has owned it completely.
It's about damn time.
So
painful
it's
lesson.
Yeah, two heads are better than one.
Ah! Oh my God!
Listen.
You're welcome, Israel.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Two heads are better than one. That's actually a thing that Confucius said back in the day.
Said this.
And now we know why.
Two heads. And that means a lot, too. That could mean many things. Yeah. Okay. For Ashley, Sabrina, Sherry, and Stephanie, what was the hardest scene to shoot without breaking character? Or were there multiple?
Definitely multiple breakings. And just like holding in laughter, specifically in the scene where we're fighting in Korea and Steph is hysterically crying and screaming.
There's definitely a take in the movie where Sherry's like,
I know my face. I know my face and how I
your
no, I was sucking my teeth.
You look chiseled though.
I look so good. I look so good.
You got
so
like that buccal happening.
The cheekbones were cheekboning.
I will say also probably the scene when Deadeye meets Kat the first time that we had a hard time with. And then I think a scene that was cut, which you guys remember. Oh, yeah. It was Lolo's audition scene where we're about to meet Kat. Sabrina was a total professional. I, as an adult, peed my pants.
Sabrina just did it, and that was funny.
We cut it, right? We cut most of that dialogue going in. Like, But I say pussy, you say tap, because we couldn't. I couldn't stop laughing.
It was just such a good time through and through.
It was We're painful, obsessed with each other. Points, yeah. Yeah.
Blooper reel, huh?
I think the blooper reel will be longer than the movie.
The laser disc extras, guys.
I made Ashley pee twice.
Me not right now. I said, I said it. And
this
my,
morning.
I said it. My publicist was like, Ashley, stop with the urine.
I thought that was a good story.
No, it was great, but just I said it once. Cut it up. Cut it's it up. Live. We yeah. can't cut yeah. it up.
Live?
This is live. They're with us in person.
Yeah, the confusions of chlamydia is live.
All that we've been saying in here has been broadcast to the world. Happy Pride, everyone. Okay, and we have one last question for the entire cast, or anyone in general. Everyone played their roles like they were actually friends before they filmed Joyride. What did you do to capture that? Did you all have a kind of a getaway together, or bonding?
I feel like, party? I mean, we clicked pretty intensely immediately. Intensely. I remember for our first table read, we met at Ashley's backyard, or Ashley's backyard, and we rehearsed the WAP number, and we were like, Sabrina, what tricks do you have? And Sabrina just like whipped out beatboxing, and then we kind of like made the WAP song around that for the table read the next day. It was like immediately this hive mind group project.
You and me. Yeah. Yes, let's fucking go.
Yeah, you're evens, okay? You got this. Close this fucking deal. That's my bitch.
And then I think when we got to Vancouver, as Asians do, we eat. So we just had like amazing meals and broke bread noodles together. We broke
Sherry
noodles together.
Sherry and Teresa order at a restaurant like it is the first and last meal we've ever had.
It's problematic. Like, it's like I'm doing a mukbang, okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at us telling Sabrina two tricks.
Well, Sabrina has a role at
Sabrina has a lot of tricks
discovered. But also Sabrina, I think Sabrina, me, Teresa, and Josh Fagan, our producer, lost a lot of sleep over Catan, which we tried to get in the movie a lot. So yes. Do you know what that is?
No, what's that?
Oh, no, let's go.
It's only the best board game to have ever been invented.
Oh, Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, of
course. Oh, okay, I was like all Catan, like Chris Catan?
He's a full name.
I was like, I was like Chris Catan, the former SNL member? Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Love games.
Yeah, but, oh, dope.
Yeah, and there was a lot of just like chilling, you know what I mean? Like the downtime where we're just being ourselves without the cameras on and, you know, in our PJs and just reflecting. Like those were the moments that felt like, oh, this is a real friendship. You know,
it's really fun. We did have, they cast it so well with all these like amazing cameos and people coming in for their 1 to 2 to 4 days of work and just being so game and willing to like get in their PJs, being part of the family, you know. So yeah. It was a really great
Baron Davis MVP.
Yeah.
MVP, like honestly, such a good sport.
Well, I think that is all the time we have for this wonderful press conference. I want to thank this lovely, beautiful, gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous cast and crew of Joyride. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Go see it in theaters. This is the best movie of the year.
Hey.
Confucius was a power
top.
Hi.
Thank you.
The Problematic Fave podcast is presented by Diaspora and is created, hosted, and produced by Dino Ray Ramos. The series is also produced by Sanjay Sharma of Marginal Media Works and edited by Brian Aguilar. Special thanks to Cam. Subscribe to Problematic Fave on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to rate us. Diaspora is a media platform that amplifies intentionally exploited communities through its work. Follow Diaspora at Real Diaspora on Instagram and Twitter, or visit thediasporatimes.com. Follow Marginal at MRGNL Media on Instagram. You can send us all your problematic faves on social or email us at thisisdiaspora@gmail.com.